Hello, I am Cindy. And Alex Frazier was my uncle. And I would like to thank Alexa and her family for asking me to share some lifelong memories I have of him and our family. It gave me, he's a very complicated person and led a rich life, and it was actually a task in trying to crystallize what is magical about a long, long relationship. And so thank you for that. And he and my mother, Anne Frazier Hewitt, had the same father. And when Uncle Alex came to speak at my mother's memorial in New York City at a landmark church on a rather solemn occasion, as you can imagine, he opened by commenting on their shared parent. Now, some of that quote is in your brochure. It's a famous quote now. But there's one little exception to the quote in your brochure, so I'm going to read it again, because Alex opened with, "Our father," and, well, not our with a capital O, or father with a capital F, but I mean Anne and my father, "didn't drink, smoke, or swear, but he got married every now and then." Alex's sophisticated irreverence was part of his charm. For me, he tolerated our dubious family tradition of divorce and remarriage by gleefully attending and dancing the night away at my own various weddings. Uncle Alex and I had an easy relationship because it didn't have a lot of shoulds or ought tos, but rather we gave and took from each other based on a feeling of mutual love. Uncle Alex impressed me early on when I was a preteen, visiting him with my mother and sister Helene in California. Uncle Alex let Helene and I kneel on the back seat of his convertible and look out backwards as he was driving precariously up this winding highway. My mom would have never done that. For me, this was just as exciting as an amusement park ride. Thus began my appreciation for my Uncle Alex, my special, fun-loving relative. Later, his license plate would read, "Enjoy," and he would sign the word "Enjoy" at the end of every letter, card, or email that I got from him. This small vignette contains one of the seeds of our lifetime relationship. Each encounter with Uncle Alex was, for me, freeing and broadening. I think everyone would be fortunate to have an Uncle Alex in their life, because Uncle Alex made life richer, bigger, and broader, and bolder. As worldly as Uncle Alex was, he was never too busy. He was not too busy to invite me to visit him in Washington, D.C. That year was 1964, and I was a new college student in New York. To really appreciate what the impact of Alex's cosmopolitan self was on me, I would need to tell you that as a child growing up in Jackson, Mississippi, my favorite movie was Gigi with Maurice Chevalier and Leslie Caron. At age 12, I sat through two consecutive showings of it. I was totally captivated by Gigi's transformation under the tutelage of Chevalier's character. Uncle Alex brought the story to life for me a decade later. During my visits with him in Washington, D.C., he took me to my first elegant dinner, starting with valet parking, about which I knew nothing. Then there was crystal stemware, followed by fine wine ordered with expertise by Uncle Alex, and foods I'd never eaten before, such as artichokes and snails. My eyes were like as big as saucers with wonder. Uncle Alex, as my mentor, was graceful, gracious, and competent. Just as he lifted me higher and transformed me into a small sophisticate, he also championed me. He was in my corner when life seemed to me to be a bit of a boxing match. I was a single mom at that time with two small boys in the process of trying to buy an apartment co-op in New York. Uncle Alex, at my request, quickly loaned me $10,000 when the deal was about to collapse. Many years later, at his 87th birthday dinner, he complimented my character and made reference to the fact that I had kept my word and paid him back all those years ago. Keeping one's word, repaying one's debts, and fulfilling one's responsibilities were important principles for him. Alex was forward-thinking, and he was a sharp businessman, but he was also kind. The fact that in his 80s, he traveled on the train alone to New York to be at my mom's memorial, to me, spoke volumes about the importance of family to Alex and was a testimony to the energy he put out to honor his sister. Some years earlier, when his own father had died, Uncle Alex spent the subsequent 5 years resolving a fairly contentious estate distribution. The four siblings, whether whole siblings, half siblings, or step siblings, each got in the end their fair share. My mom and Alex were both sharp intellects with strong opinions, so they often went head to head over various issues. Although Mom, or Anne, was valedictorian of every class that she was a part of, she referred to Alex as the smart one. Alex wrote to Anne that he had come in his lifetime to appreciate his own father's, quote, brain power and effort that went into keeping the family fortunes together for us through the years of the Depression. My mom shared the same sentiments about Alex's efforts to... Sandy, thanks for your brave example. My mom shared the same sentiments about Alex's efforts to settle the estate and said that our own small nuclear family of three, Mom, Helene, and I, would have been in very different circumstances if Alex hadn't stepped up and helped all of us. She was grateful, and she always credited Alex with that good outcome. Uncle Alex was my role model for thinking out of the box. When he started his formerly married Parents Without Partners, I think it was in around 1968, it was surely the front runner of what we know today as Match.com and other similar sites. He discerned a need, thought of an idea, and created an organization to fill that void. In Uncle Alex, I saw a man who was not afraid to take action. When the headlines were full of threat of nuclear war and world destruction, Alex moved his family to Australia, evaluating it as the safest continent. Everyone who knew Alex would probably have their own examples of his commitment to action. He lived the axiom that principles, to be powerful, must embody action. With Alex's death is the passing of a specific lifetime of these four siblings. They were of the generation who actually wrote letters on typewriters with carbon paper. And I have a notebook full of correspondence between Uncle Alex and my mom. It's still smoking with their intense opinions. Mom never spared Alex her advice about anything, whether he wanted it or not, including, but not limited to, the raising of Alexa. I remember being jealous because Alexa, being parented by Alex, got to pick out her own clothes, including a full-length cape and tall leather boots, while I got stuck with frilly dresses. At Mom's memorial, Alex closed his remarks on that day by saying, that one way to measure a successful life is to see how the kids turned out. I am sure that while applying that to his own life, he was well satisfied with his beautiful daughter, Alexa, her character, her accomplishments, and her dedication to motherhood. Alex wrote to his sister, Anne, that as a little boy, by the way, he wrote about his life because she prodded him to. That was her role. He wrote about that as a little boy, he had connected his Grandpa Fraser's, that's his father's, very loud snoring with bears, and was afraid that bears would come up the stairs at night. Scared or not, Alex, the grown man, rose up strong in life and in facing his death. In his death choices, as in many other less significant situations, he showed us the outer limits of action, taking us out of our comfort zone and modeling that we can achieve and experience much more than we thought we could. Alex's legacy is his wish for us to enjoy freedom of thought while at the same time not taking ourselves too seriously.